Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2466, with a release date of Friday, January 31st, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Trouble for the Mount Athos de-expedition. A Bouvet Island team hires its transportation, and an old NASA antenna gets a new job. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2466 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story this week takes us to Greece, where the Mount Athos SV1GA/A de-expedition team halted their activation shortly after it got underway amid challenges over whether they had permission to be there. The coveted DX entity has been a World Heritage Site since 1988 and is listed as 28th on the Club Log DXCC list. The team went on the air for their planned 10-day operation in late January to mark the 50th anniversary of the first amateur radio activation there. The five-member team was led by two of the operators from the original Mount Athos activation, Marty, OH2BH, and Aris, SV1GA. The other team members were Adrian, KO8SCA, Gabi, YO8WW, and Nico, OH2GEK. Their signal went silent within a day, however, after they said they received a letter from the Mount Athos Holy Community regarding the de-expedition's right to operate at the site, which is home to about 2,000 monks in 20 monasteries. On Wednesday, the 29th of January, the team issued a public statement through Bernie McClenny, W3UR, saying that they planned to provide authorities with whatever information is needed for the issue to be clarified, saying that they would, quote, wait for relevant authorities to meet and review our case, end quote. On Thursday, January 30th, Marty released a public statement announcing that the team was leaving the island while awaiting a decision by the local authorities who had issued the hams their permit. An earlier statement from the team prior to their activation had been one of hope. The team wrote, quote, we would like to think that this Mount Athos activation is just the first step in opening the doors to other teams to activate this desired amateur radio entity. Our goal is to show that amateur radio de-expeditions have no impact on the monastic life of the Holy Mountain. On the contrary, it creates goodwill and allows the 3 million amateurs around the world to see this beautiful and serene place with different eyes. End quote. Meanwhile, get ready for Bouvet 2026. The 3Y0K team has announced that it has signed some contracts for transportation. Another step towards going to this coveted DX. Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, has the details.
The de-expedition to Bouvet Island next year is ready to go forward. Team 3Y0K plans to leave Cape Town, South Africa, on the 1st of February 2026 for 36 days on the remote subantarctic island, the 10th most wanted DXCC entity on the Club Log list. The team announced that it has signed a contract with Ice Tugs, an Iceland-based company that will transport them to the island by boat. Contracts have also been signed with Ultimate Aviation of Cape Town to provide the team with a helicopter, two pilots, and a mechanic. Costing an estimated $1.6 million in US currency, the de-expedition will have a team of between 18 and 24 operators. Its financial support includes donations as well as grants from the Northern California DX Foundation. The team said on its website that it considered the signing of the contracts with both companies to be a major milestone. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
Satellite enthusiasts in Switzerland are inviting everyone to help pay tribute to a radio operator who was in the vanguard of making QSOs via those birds in the sky. We have that story from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
AmSat Switzerland proudly uses the call sign HB9RG as a way to honor Hans Rudolf Lauber. Hans became a silent key in 2017 at the age of 92. but until then the call sign belonged to this innovative Swiss amateur who completed the first amateur radio satellite QSO in March of 1965. The contact with Alphonse Hering, DL6EZA, was completed via the Oscar 11 satellite. Hans Rudolf will be honoured again by satellite enthusiasts in March when AMSAT HB hosts the Hans Rudolf Lauber HB9RG Memorial Trophy event. In the spirit of this avid DXer, the trophy will recognise contacts made over significant distances during the 2 weeks between the 3rd and 16th of March. Contacts must be made using only low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, or high Earth orbit satellites. For more details and full explanation of the rules, follow the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Scientists believe that one key to predicting dangerous solar flares may rest in a clue that they have found in the sun's coronal loops. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us about that clue.
Analyzing images captured at NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, researchers say they have identified a telltale flickering that seems to be a tip-off that dangerous solar flares are soon to follow. The scientists detected the flickering in coronal loops of shining plasma. This was actually ultraviolet light at specific wavelengths, and it occurred before the sun shot massive bursts of electromagnetic radiation, which we know as solar flares. The researchers viewed the phenomenon just before 50 such solar flares. Their findings were presented to the American Astronomical Society in Maryland on January 15th. The scientists believe that what they have observed may provide a way to develop more dependable forecasts of space weather. They believe that predictions based on this observation can offer accuracy of 60 to 80% for flares that occur within 2 to 6 hours. The biggest of these geomagnetic disturbances can disrupt power grids, satellite orbits, rail lines, and GPS systems. More accurate forecasts of space weather would also be welcomed by amateur radio operators, and people chasing the northern lights. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
2 days in April will be devoted to getting the best out of using VHF, UHF, and weak signal microwaves to operate at the Southeastern VHF Conference in Clarksville, Tennessee. We have more details from Cell MB, KB3TZD.
Organizers are looking for papers and presentations that cover equipment, construction projects, station accessories, roving, DXing, and the digital modes. Anything relevant to weak signal operating on either an operational or technical level. In general, the conference is not accepting topics on FM or packet repeaters or packet unless the subject relates directly to weak signal operations. The deadline for submissions is the 15th of February and should be emailed to Mike Stipik, KC4RI, at kc4ri@att.net. The conference will be held on April 4th and 5th. For details on acceptable formats for submissions, follow the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Cell MB, KB3TZD.
Your retirement isn't for everyone, and that includes antennas, especially ones used by NASA for many of its historic space missions over the years. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us about one historic antenna that's gone back into service in Australia.
Decommissioned almost 40 years ago, the 29.8-metre parabolic antenna at the site of Australia's Overseas Telecommunications Commission in Carnarvon, West Australia, will be reporting for duty again as part of a satellite tracking system said to be of interest to the military. The return will follow a period of thorough refurbishing that includes some new paint, some new equipment to be installed, and the removal of some serious accumulations of pigeon droppings over the years. According to ABC News Australia, the refurbishment began last year. The dish is the property of Thothex Australia, part of the private Canadian aerospace company Thothex, which bought it in 2022 in the hopes of offering it for use by military clients interested in having satellite tracking capabilities. The antenna is a veteran of many notable NASA missions, including the Apollo 11 moon landing. Although it's not yet ready for prime time, ABC News Australia reported in December 24 that the dish had received its first signal in 40 years, sent as a test from a geostationary object. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Utah Amateur Radio Club's W7SP repeater, on Sundays as part of the club's 9 p.m. net. An ambitious project in Canada hopes to develop a mesh network to link repeaters and to accommodate several digital modes. Hoping to combine the best features of such digital networks as Hamwen, Arden, and the new packet radio, developers in Canada are starting development of a mesh network that will operate on the 70-centimeter band. Writing in the newsletter Zero Retries, Martin Alcock, VE6VH, said that the project is being designed to link repeaters using RF and will include digital voice modes, data transfers, messaging, and a data networking layer. The project is called IP400, short for Intelligent Protocol 400. It has the support of the Alberta Digital Radio Communications Society and is looking for contributors familiar with the C and C++ languages. Free open source code is being used for the development. IP400 is intended to operate on amateur frequencies between 420 and 450 MHz. Martin said that unlike conventional analog links, the digital mesh platform will be capable of carrying compressed digital video as well as compressed audio and telemetry. He writes, quote, "The first step is to get a simple chat and beaconing application running to experiment with the technology. From there, we can layer on other features and frame types and then consider moving into the repeater world." End quote. A link to his contact page can be found in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Although repeater systems are often viewed as safety nets by travelers as well as emergency responders, these wireless layers of protection are not everywhere. One group in eastern Colorado has been working to change that. Here's Andy Morrison, K9 AWM, with the details.
The Eastern Colorado Repeater Association is a small and very new group that has taken on a big job to close what one organizer calls the repeater communication gap across Eastern Colorado. The organizer, Brian Wheeler, KB9UZO, is a retired firefighter and aircraft mechanic who has assembled a group of radio operators specifically to fill what he considers a dead zone in that part of the state. Brian writes on the group's GoFundMe page that with no reliable radio coverage in the state's Eastern Plains region, the effort's first priority is to expand coverage via VHF, UHF, DMR, and APRS through a linked repeater system. He said that testing had already begun with a repeater in eastern El Paso County on 147.030 MHz, but progress is slow because of limited resources. At the same time, Brian said he hopes he can create a network of something just as reliable and important, a welcoming community of hams like him who are involved in experimenting with technology and in growing a cohesive community of radio amateurs. He writes, quote, "We want every member to feel included, heard, and appreciated as we work together to strengthen communication networks and enrich the amateur radio experience throughout the region," end quote. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
A noted CW contester and prominent YL in the international community has become a silent key. We hear more about her from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
A ham since 1975, Roselle Zenka, DL3KWR, died on the 15th of January, according to an announcement by Scandinavian Young Ladies Radio Amateurs, one of six YL groups she belonged to. Roselle was an amateur who loved to combine travel with being on the air, and had made use of 70 different call signs in 22 countries that she'd visited, often with her husband, Hardy, DL3KWF.
She had also travelled for about 20 years to participate in international YL meetings of clubs in New Zealand, Australia, the USA, Japan and Scandinavia. She was a member of the Russian CW Club, the Professional Radio Operators CW Club and the Croatian Telegraphy Club. Roselle was primarily a CW operator, but tried to bring a personal touch to many of her QSOs. Writing on her personal webpage, dl3kwr.de, she said that CW is not as impersonal as it may seem to some. She quoted the small messages that she would send to others within the CW contest community that would offer the simple heartfelt greeting, "Nice to meet you again." Roselle was in her 80s. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
In the world of DX, be listening for Willie, ON4AVT, operating as 6W7/ON4AVT from Senegal. He'll be on the air from the 2nd of February through to the 10th of April. See QRZ.com for QSL details. The Bahrain Amateur Radio Society is marking the 100th anniversary of the International Amateur Radio Union and will be on the air for 5 days of each month this year. Special call sign is A9100IARU, QSL via EC6DX. Harold, DF2WO, is using the call sign 9X2AW from Rwanda through to the 15th of February, operating CW, single sideband, and FT8, FT4 on 160 through 6 meters. He is also operating via the QO100 satellite. QSL via M0OXO's OQRS. For our final story, we turn to deep space and some new insights into an old discovery that could pose serious dangers for space travel. John Williams, VK4 JJW, shares those insights.
They're called chorus waves, but these disturbances, first discovered in the Earth's magnetic field decades ago, are apparently nothing to sing about. For one thing, scientists realize that these bursts of energy are not necessarily limited to the Earth and nearby planets. Their presence may pose dangers to deep space travel. When the waves are converted to audio, the signals are said to chirp, mimicking bird song. The dark side to this sweet song is the discovery that the waves are capable of accelerating particles to almost the speed of light, a rate that would endanger astronauts and spacecraft passing through them. Scientists have dubbed these particles killer electrons. The finding was made recently by researchers at Baihang University in China and published in the journal Nature. The researchers detected the chorus waves through the use of NASA's Magnetospheric Multiscale Mission, a study of the Earth's magnetic field that utilizes four satellites flying in formation. Earth isn't the only planet experiencing this phenomenon. Scientists now know that the waves can occur near any planet in our solar system with a magnetic field. In fact, a magnetic field is no longer a prerequisite. The waves have been found on Venus too, which has no magnetic field. They're created instead when solar wind enters the atmosphere from transient fields, all of which leads scientists to a chorus of questions. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to the ABC News Australia, Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT HB, Bernie McClenny, W3UR, David Behar, K7DB, DX News, Facebook, 425 DX News, GoFundMe, Hackaday, Live Science, National Public Radio, Peg Hart, WA2YBZ, Scandinavian Young Ladies Radio Amateurs, Scientific American, shortwaveradio.de, space.com, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, Zero Retry Newsletters, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.